kind enough to join us again is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. He's a professor of political science from the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies at the University of Akron. He is the director there. He has joined me many times on the show to look at not only terror groups globally, but right now the growing concern of these domestic terror groups in the United States. And if you thought it wasn't in Ohio, boy, were you rudely awoken on Saturday afternoon in Medina County in Wadsworth when a group of the Proud Boys made their way into Wadsworth and certainly announced in loud fashion that they were there. And let's bring in Carl right now to the conversation. And Carl, you have been on this show saying that they are gaining in strength and in numbers when we talk about these domestic terror groups.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true, Ray. We've seen a big uptick really since the election of President Obama back in 2008. There was a significant growth in the number of these groups and the people who were adhering to the ideology. So one of the things that's really important to point out is, you know, membership doesn't tell you very much with these groups because some of them don't have really, you know, good records or even have quote unquote traditional membership, but they have a lot of people that follow the ideology that will show up when somebody posts a message on the internet or social media and say, hey, let's meet at this particular time. So it's really the people that follow the ideology that's grown. And it's really a mix of ideologies too, not to make this too complicated, but a lot of these groups, they have some overlap, but then they have some important differences. But the general landscape of this hate, if you want to call it, portion of right-wing groups now has grown very substantially.
Carl, when we see some of these groups like we saw in Wadsworth, Ohio on Saturday, are these groups traveling to areas where they see an opportunity? I imagine that's part of it. Are they also popping up in areas where they have members? I imagine that's part of it. Talk about how they're scanning the country and looking for opportunities to make their message and get their message out.
Well, you're right, Ray. Both of the things you just said are 100% correct. You know, they have local membership. I think I may have told you before on your show that, you know, unfortunately, Ohio is one of the epicenters in the country for these groups. So it doesn't surprise me when they show up. Probably a lot of those folks are local. Some of them probably are traveling. You know, they're going to go where they get publicity, too, because they want to attract new members. They want to attract money. So if they see something that they know is kind of a lightning rod, they'll show up there in order to make their mark and you know, try to profit off of it. And I'm sure that's part of what happened here.
With us is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. Again, professor of political science and director of the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. So, Carl, as we look at these groups, and you have studied these groups, you made presentations on these groups, do they have a particular end game? It's easy to say they want to take over, but I don't know if that's it or not. But what is the end game for these type of groups?
Well, see, this is where their differences plays a big role because they don't all have the same end game. They don't want the same things. So they're united in some of the things that they oppose. Like, you know, clearly a drag queen presenting in a library is something they know is a very divisive issue. They know a lot of people will show up to that to protest, and so they make that a big deal. So they can agree on that. But you would see that even among those guys who were at the protest, that, you know, some of them were clear neo-Nazis. And the Proud Boys don't fall into that category. The Proud Boys are very right-wing. They call themselves Western chauvinists, which means they think the West is better than the rest of the world. But they're not neo-Nazis. They're not into white supremacy nearly as much as some of those other groups that show up, which are clearly Nazi, neo-Nazi groups. So the neo-Nazis would like to kind of recreate Nazi Germany. That would be their goal, with all the horrors that come with that potentially. A group like a Proud Boys group would be much less drastic in what they would want. But the Proud Boys don't even have a very clear ideology of what they would want if they took over. But, yeah, I would think that there'd be infighting among these groups if there ever was a chance for them to come to power.
Carl, when you talk about the state of Ohio, and like we said, we saw that unfortunately in Medina County last week. I thought maybe you can make the presentation again and educate us that unfortunately right here in Ohio, we are seeing a lot of these groups and a lot of these members.
Yeah, Ohio, like I said, really is a place that has been an epicenter of a variety of these extremist groups. We've had neo-Nazi leadership just down the road in Parma. We've had militias in various parts of the state. And some of those are militias that really get the attention of federal law enforcement because they have links to, say, the Michigan militias and other groups like that. So they're considered pretty worrying. And then, you know, we have the other groups, the Proud Boys, Three Percenters, the other groups that have sprung up more recently. The neo-Nazis have been with us for quite a while. Although they tend to split and form new groups, they fight with each other all the time. But, yeah, the landscape of all these groups that we see nationally is very well represented in Ohio.
So Carl, the next phase is, what is the federal government doing to offset this? What have you learned about the concern level, and how are they, quote, use this word, fighting these domestic terror groups?
Well, these groups have to commit a crime before the federal government can, arrest them. You can't arrest someone for exercising their First Amendment free speech rights. And so I know I talk to the FBI frequently about these issues, that they're not at all trying to keep these groups from saying what is protected speech. And they're very clear about that because they don't want to give people the impression that, well, we're thought police or we're speech police. That's not it. But if these groups look like they're either harassing people or they are engaged in illegal arms deals, so that's one of the things that these groups will frequently get in trouble for, is they'll buy weapons illegally or hand the weapons around illegally. So weapons charges are a frequent thing. Some of these groups engage in violence. In the past, we've had cases of that clearly. So what the FBI tries to do is get to know as much as they can about the group. If it looks like the group or individuals that adhere to the ideology are plotting something, the FBI will then try to find out as much about that and then arrest the folks before they actually commit the crime. And the way they typically do this is they'll have a informant or an undercover agent that will potentially give them a weapon that the people think is actually going to explode, say, you know, an IED type thing or some weapon that's illegal, and then they can arrest the person who receives that and get them off the street. So the whole point is, when a person looks like they're going to be dangerous, the FBI wants that person off the street.
Carl, what's your concern level with these guys? I should say these groups.
My concern level is high. It's partially about the groups because the groups spread the ideology. It's not so much about the groups typically undertaking violence together. And so I say typically. I think January 6th is an example where there was some group coordination and activity to attack the Capitol. But typically when we talk about the violent extremists who go and attack, you know, a synagogue, or they'll go into some other facility to shoot folks or plant a bomb or something like that, nowadays that's very rarely group activity. that's almost always what we call lone wolves. These are people who are inspired by the ideology, and they do this kind of stuff themselves. So I am concerned about those people because, one, we know there's a lot of people out there that have the motivation to do that. Two, it's not that difficult to do, unfortunately. And three, when these people do it, they inspire others. This is the big thing. It becomes contagious. And so that's why we're seeing efforts by the media to not really name these folks who commit these crimes, because they know when you give them publicity, you just inspire others. So I am concerned about it. I know that there's a lot of these kind of folks out there, because I'm hearing from FBI that they have a lot of cases going with people who are plotting or have already tried something and are being chased down. So, yeah, it's a worrying landscape out there for anybody who's following it, that these kinds of people are out there, and most worrying is they want to engage in violence frequently.